Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Is that the most meaningless thing South Florida sports has ever celebrated? Dion Waiters hit a big shot against the Warriors for a team that ended up not making the playoffs, but...
Rex Chapman's Miami Heat of eight players beat Michael Jordan.
Oh, that's actually a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
And there was a giant celebration.
Oh, Miami's return against Duke. I mean, ended up being pretty meaningless. It was
The lateral play?
Yeah, the crazy kickoff return.
Oh, please go get that, Mike, because you can't play that enough. I miss the days when we were watching UM football with such joy that we were listening to it on the radio and Joe Zagacki was calling the games.
The biggest Dolphins plays have been the Camarillo play and then the lateral play against the Patriots, right? Like, those are the Dolphins.
That's
moments
another
of, like,
meaningless
the past
one. That's a good one. That's
excellent.
A good one there. Let's go ahead. And if you don't remember this, this was Duke Miami. At the end of the game, Miami won with a whole bunch of laterals, beat Duke. And we did celebrate that. Again, it was the beating of Duke. It was David Cutcliffe and them boys. Did they still have a track around the field back then?
I think this was after they took the track
they
around.
Did,
the field.
Yeah.
Remember, Randy Shannon's cool. Like, that's a tough place to play. You got to walk over the track.
Right.
I think Spice, Duke was ranked right. at the yeah. time. And Malik Rozier, this was his first start for Miami. And it's technically one of those ranked opponents on the road. I still cling on to this one.
This is one of the best play-by-play calls you will ever hear.
27-24, squib kick. Just fall down on it or whatever. No, they're going to try the lateral. Pass it to the other side of the field. This never works. Caught by Corn Elder. Pitches it back to Jaquan Johnson at the Miami 30. Delaying the inevitable. Looking for a block. Pitches it backwards. As many laterals now as BS pass interference penalties on that last drive. Walton now pitches it back to Johnson. Guess we're going to keep going with this. Toss it back. Here comes another pitch. Corn Elder has it. Throws it back to the Plumbers 9-1-1 goal line. Dallas Crawford looking for a block. Gets one. Definitely not a block in the back. He throws it across to the 30 to Corn Elder. Big legal block. He's got it to the 40. Corn Elder crossing El Palacio de los Jugos midfield. Corn Elder speeding now to the 40. Speeding ticket. FakeHoward.com. Elder now dashing down the Dandy Bear sideline. So what? Your kid has ringworm. Dandy Bear. Elder inside the Gus Machado red zone. Corn Elder. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Lindy. Eric. Scotty. Mike. Miami. Sequarium. Touchdown.
Now hold on a second.
There are presently no flags on the field, and certainly no one will have a problem with how this game ended. Oh, wait. We don't speak English, so everyone hates us.
I made Jemele Hill apologize to me in person for how she responded to that.
Tony, had you not heard that before? Tony's got tears in his eyes and was covering his face, jiggling with laughter the entire time. What got you was Palacio de los Jugos, right? Although Dandy Bear, the ringworm in the middle of that, Tony, you hadn't heard that before.
No, I hadn't heard that before. But what makes it funnier is that I used to work, when I was working at 560, I was the board operator who had to take account for all the live reads. So I had to go back of a 9-hour broadcast and cut out all the live reads that Josie would say. So I felt that furiosity.
You felt that one deep within your soul, having to grab all those forced live reads. By the way, Miami's playing Duke this week. Wasn't on the schedule. Emergency opponent. that was scheduled yesterday because what happened...
everyone needs money.
Because Miami came out of their COVID situation, but their postponed game with Wake Forest had to be canceled outright because now Wake Forest is dealing with their own COVID situation. But because FSU is dealing with their own COVID situation, Duke and Miami find themselves needing an opponent this weekend. And Miami finds one. I guess credit to them for trying to get that money and get that W, because they really don't need to play this game. They've done enough to secure a big bowl game.
They played their allotment. What a crazy college football season. Ohio State might not play enough games to qualify for the Big Ten championship game, although I'm sure they'll make an exception.
I mean, you're saying crazy, but I just wonder where I have to put it for you so that the greed bothers you. I don't mean you personally. I just mean... how much do I have to distort this thing in which it's going to get so distorted that you're not actually measuring who's the best team or who the champion is? Some of this stuff, Stugatz, in college football has always been random, right? Like, what I think about the macro of college football that I find fascinating is it's always the same teams in the sport that are the 20 best because they get all the best players. And sure, then everyone there else in the sport is just fodder. Like Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson right now, they're so far ahead of everyone else in terms of getting everyone that they want that the Big Ten's not really up for dispute. Only the virus can kill Ohio State. The Big 12 is always the same two teams, and it's always Oklahoma. Like, the whole thing is a bit of a crock in terms of measurement, but never more than this year.
Right.
Like, never more than what you're witnessing now. And I wonder where you have to put it, where I have to put it for the audience, where you're like, this is ridiculous. Like, we shouldn't be doing this. This is not the accurate measurement of who our champion should be.
Ohio State playing four games would kind of do it for me. Like, four games. Four games, you're putting them in the Final Four.
I mean, it's they better just say, hold on to the line that they're picking the best four teams in the nation just based off of talent. And because if you're doing resume.
But couldn't you actually do that before the season? Honest to God. Like, yeah, if, why bother rankings, playing any yes. of these? No, but I'm saying that if I'd asked you, who are the four? Like, if I tell you guys right now, hey, who are you going to see? You're going to see Clemson. You're going to see Alabama. You're going to see Ohio State. It's been like this for years.
Some people would pick Notre Dame. Some people would have picked Notre Dame as that fourth.
That's where people would have objected, though. Those three.
You need three out of the four.
Yeah.
You needed three out of the four, right. And you needed to see the season play out. But I like resume building in terms of college football. Look, it's patently absurd that Miami fell three spots after winning as a road underdog with almost their entire team missing, not being able to field an actual competitive team. They fall three spots, and because of COVID, they're idle and climb three spots. This makes no sense.
Oh, but you're going to get in pro football the same way, Stugatz. Like, there is the chance here that there are going to be some rewards for the Steelers in getting sick, where they get extra time to rest and buys because the Steelers don't need to. Like, we are headed to a place, as they've got an outbreak, where the Pittsburgh Steelers might have fewer games than everyone else, and that's an advantage for them.
If they're canceled games and they don't have the makeup week, then the Steelers are adamant that they want to play this game with good reason, because there's a chance if it gets canceled, their bye week goes out the window, and in a random sport, you don't want to play one more game, especially in a loaded AFC this year, so they want to get this game played.
But at 10-0, I know the Steelers are good and deserving. At 4-0, I have no idea, Ohio State. Like, I think they're good. I think they deserve to be in the Final Four, but they won four games. I mean,
I don't know what to do, because that sport, you use transitive property more than any when you have the aid of non-conference games, and you have so few non-conference games. What I would have liked to have seen, but BYU wouldn't have done it, especially with their own in-house rules, is I would have liked to have seen Miami go for it, because Cincinnati and BYU are out there. I would have loved to have seen Miami like, okay, we're actually going to go for this. We're going to try to impress the committee and take advantage of teams like Ohio State playing four games. Let's get BYU. But BYU would never do that in their right mind.
So let me understand something here in terms of how we're doing this, because you saw, Stugatz, that the Saints, they partied maskless after beating the Bucks 38-3, and they got a penalty here that was stiff. And a lot of teams, the Raiders, a lot of teams are getting stiff financial penalties. But in this case, the Saints also had a draft pick taken away. And my question is, given that so much around this virus has been unknown, given that we're all sitting here fighting the unseen and the unknown, walking around hoping the masks are doing something. The science tells us percentage-wise, right? If you look at the percentages, if two people are across from each other and they're wearing masks, It's a 1% chance of something passing back and forth.
Right.
Drew Lock said they got reckless with the masks in a meeting, and that's how they lost their entire quarterback crew in Denver. Does it not feel to you, given the amount, the sheer amount of unknown here, combined with the sheer amount of greed, that like Dan Woken says for Yahoo Sports, that Gonzaga is here in a, you know, Native American land bubble, okay? They're just doing something that's not right in that bubble. They're just grabbing money near a casino, just as dirty as can possibly be. Just grab money, grab the television dollars. And it doesn't feel like the protocols are being followed because, you know, young kids are going to show fewer sicknesses. It's not an immunity necessarily, but they've got a bubble there, and it's gross. The whole thing is gross.
The NFL one feels icky, and that is a capitalistic venture. But college football is too, but it's supposed to not feel that way. College football just generally feels icky because of how they're taking advantage of kids. College football leaves me all sorts of conflicted. That is until kickoff time, and I've got Sparty Moneyline.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I've enjoyed the games, but I think that's where, because the NFL guys are getting paychecks, the college kids are not, that's where it feels super icky to me. I mean, listen, people are blasting the NFL for allowing Denver to play that game without a quarterback.
They were trying to prove a point to Denver, because Denver was brazen about it. Because
both teams played that game without a quarterback.
Yeah, a lot of people were making that joke. And it was
It was hard to watch.
It was. I can't believe that we got to that point this late in the season. And now the San Francisco 49ers are going to have to find a stadium in Arizona to house their home games because
they can't play contact sports.
Yeah, because their county won't allow them to play home games there. This is late in the season. There are people like fantasy jackpots on the line, gambling on the line, NFL. Jobs are going to be lost because someone's not going to have a home field advantage. Jobs are going to be lost because someone has to start a wide receiver at quarterback. It is such a mutation of the integrity of the sport. And I guess you just have to grade it for what it is. How well can we survive this wacky season? Can you survive on the road against Jacksonville with no practice and your best offensive player with COVID? Can you survive that?
I want to ask you guys something because I thought of some of the underrated funny in the call that Mike did on the UM-Duke game. Play it one more time here so I can see Tony laugh till he snorts again. And I want to get a vote from Tony on what is the single funniest thing in here. But let's hear that again.
27-24, squib kick. Just fall down on it or whatever. No, they're going to try the lateral. Pass it to the other side of the field. This never works. Caught by Corn Elder. Pitches it back to Jaquan Johnson at the Miami 30. Delaying the inevitable. Looking for a block. Pitches it backwards. As many laterals now as BS pass interference penalties on that last drive. Walton now pitches it back to Johnson. Guess we're going to keep going with this. Toss it back. Here comes another pitch. Corn Elder has it. Throws it back to the Plumbers 9-1-1 goal line. Dallas Crawford looking for a block. Gets one. Definitely not a block in the back. He throws it across to the 30 to Corn Elder. Big legal block. He's got it to the 40. Corn Elder crossing El Palacio de los Jugos midfield. Corn Elder speeding now to the 40. Speeding ticket, BigHoward.com. Elder now dashing down the Dandy Bear sideline. So what, your kid has ringworm? Dandy Bear, Elder inside the Gus Machado red zone. Corn Elder, he's at the 10. He's at the 5. Lindy, Eric, Scotty, Mike, Miami, Seaquarium, touchdown.
Oh, what a good one.
It is. Tony, you got to pick one. Only one. And I know it's hard, man, because it's just joke stacked on top of joke.
How do you pick one from Speedy Ticket, Fake Howard, Gus Machado, Red Zone, yes, the air around the clock, guys?
Gus Machado, Red Zone. All right, you got to. Everyone can only pick one, and there's a reason I'm doing this. Tony, pick one. You're only allowed to pick one. Go.
I got to go Palacio de los Jugos midfield.
Yeah, I love that. Chris, what do you have?
So what? Your kid has ringworm.
Billy?
I just like the mention of Dandy Bear.
Roy, how about you?
Yeah, definitely Dandy Bear.
Stugat?
Gus Machado, Red Zone.
Lindy, Eric, Scotty, Mike.
Yes. I like Palacio de los Hugos because it goes two languages. But one of the underrated things in there, I think.
It does.
One of the, what do you think Palacio de los Hugos means? You want to translate it? Let's hear. Let's see how good your Spanish
is. Say it again.
Palacio de los Hugos.
Jewish palace?
That is correct.
All right.
That is exactly right.
Lucky guess.
One of the
what?
Shalom.
One of the funniest things in that is the comedic perfection of the name Corn Elder. Okay? And the reason I bring this up.
It's where my daughters had their bar mitzvah.
Corn Elder is a funny comedic name. And what I wanted to say to you is if we were talking about the dirty of college basketball, if we're here in bare naked greed situation where college basketball is just grabbing at money, can I give you a funnier place to put the bubble in terms of name than Mohegan Sun? Like, honest to God, tell me, somebody give me like a name. When I give you Mohegan Sun, you're like, oh, okay, we got Sad Gambling. We've got some blackjack tables that might be stuck in the 80s. And I don't know if any of this is true.
Dude, that's a nice casino, though. The one that got me, because they're not doing like, I don't think they're doing the Maui Invitational. They're not doing Atlantis. They're not doing Puerto Rico. I turned on the TV one day and there was a Fort Myers tip-off. Fort Myers is famous for being like the halfway point when you're driving from Miami to Orlando. It's just a
rest stop. There's nothing there other than a rest stop. They run the entire government out of a rest stop.
A rest stop and the broken egg.
Wait, the Zags are playing in this one. Oh my gosh, they're in the Fort Myers tip-off. The Zags.
Mike.
It's because Florida's allowing anything, Mike.
Help me. That is part of it. Mike, help me with where the Mohegan Sun is.
Oh,
that's, yeah, it's one of the big hot spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've never done the thing where you go to ESPN and there's nothing to do in Bristol and you hit the road to Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, it's like mid-Connecticut, like middle Connecticut.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys, not having been there, because I'm not sure why this is, for me, the Mohegan Sun brand, because I don't have any experience with the Mohegan Sun. I've just got the experience that I do with, Native American gambling here in South Florida. The Mohegan Sun, what I imagine, okay, it has, when you walk in, this is what I imagine, a film on it. There's just a film on everything, including your face, as you walk in. And you walk into something that is dusty and just a note less than wonderful.
Nah, you're sleeping on the Mohegan Sun Casino. Yes. This is one of the top-of-the-notch casinos.
But I'm saying by name, there's something I'm doing there, and
well,
I don't know.
I think you're thinking Miccosukee, perhaps.
No, maybe you're just thinking of what it used to be. Yeah, what Miccosukee used to be. But Mohegan Sun, they have a world-class entertainment facility, Dan. They're home to the Connecticut Sun, which used to be the Miami Soul.
They have one of the nicest golf courses in America. It's super nice.
But I'm asking you guys what I'm doing there because I've never been to the
Mohegan Sun.
Casinos
is what you're doing.
I don't know anything about the Mohegan Sun, but I don't think of this as Vegas casinos. I think of this feeling like downtown Vegas casinos where it's $3.99 buffet.
Are you doing just Connecticut casino?
Here's a steak. I'm just doing Connecticut, really. It's not just Connecticut casino. I'm doing Connecticut. It's just a class represented by Applebee's or Fridays.
Oh, man. This is home to Michael Jordan's steakhouse.
So the Mohegan Sun is getting all that gambling money, and they're buying real class?
Yeah, they keep renovating. There's so much money being pumped into it. They just got done with a recent renovation. I'm telling you, every time you make the drive from the Hartford Airport to Bristol, you see all these billboards, and you're like, wow, Justin Timberlake's playing this place? What is this?
In fact, I would go the other way and say, if you're going to be in a bubble, the Mohegan Sun is probably one of the five places in America you want to be.
I'd rather be there than Fort Myers.
Well, what about like the Bahamas? Isn't that usually where they've done
the Atlantis, which could be a little sad. Where are they playing this in Fort Myers?
You've got
Myers?
The Atlantis being a little sad? Is that what you said?
Well, because they do it in like that ballroom, although I think they added a sports facility there. Fort Myers has to be the worst. Like, are they playing this at the rest stop?
There is an old movie with Ben Affleck and Dana Stubblefield, the former 49ers defensive tackle.
Reindeer Games.
He's in jail now for an awful crime, and he's going to be in jail for a long time. But Reindeer Games that Mike mentioned. And that's the casino I'm thinking of, Mike, when I think of the Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
One of these sad, this one of these sad, it, of course, there everything smells like cigarettes.
Right. You're thinking Seminole Coconut Creek.
Yeah. I mean. There you go.
Yes. Yes. Something like yeah. something like that. Now, how do you explain to the audience what Seminole Coconut Creek? Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Wait, is
of.
The old Seminole, because it was for a while, the old Seminole Casino that was pre-existing before they built the new Hard Rock and everything
the
like
Hard
that?
The Hard Rock is beautiful.
The yeah,
Hard
Rock's beautiful. The old casino, right. I think, is still there just
it
for
is.
Slots.
It is still there.
Whoa. It is still there. Yeah,
that used to be, whoa.
You have,
still is. Still is.
So you have the Hard Rock, the Guitar Hotel. You still have the place that Mike just mentioned. And then you have Seminole Coconut Creek. It's in Coconut Creek, so let's just start there, okay? That's where all the old acts play, and there's a very good chance you go to this New York Yankee Steakhouse, because it happened to me once, where I ordered a porterhouse steak and it had ashes on it. I mean, that's just the kind of place.
That is a good description. I don't think we're going to do any better than that. I feel like Chris, who was betting the Australian Midnight Donkeys at during the pandemic. Chris, mm-hmm. you sounded like you had a little too familiar, a little too much familiarity with the dirty old room. What are we talking about there? Give us some more description.
Oh, it is just, it's just, you cannot, it's the most cigarette smoke per capita in the country. It is, you cannot walk around that place without somebody ashing in your eye. And yes, I used to, when I was like 18, 19, I played poker and I was always at that sad to the side, not at the main Hard Rock, off the Hard Rock. It's just such, it's the saddest place. I think it is sadder than the Creek one because they've actually built up that Creek one in recent years a little bit. It's still sad.
But that room, you leave with emphysema, correct? You come,
yes.
You come with your money, you leave with emphysema.
There was a smoker's room at Dania High Line, which was redundant because they allowed smoking everywhere.
Yes.
And I remember like the first couple of times walking past that, I thought that the windows were actually tinted a little bit to protect the people in there and give them some privacy, but no, it was just caked on. Cancer.
Is that the first remote we ever did? Like the first party that we ever did that was 1,000 people and Luther Campbell came out and Stu Gatz lost some sort of University of Miami bet.
Just an over-under on wins for the season.
You had to come out
I was wheeled out on a gurney without a shirt on, like Hannibal Lecter.
That's right, you had a mask on, right?
Yeah,
you had a mask on, and it was to get a Brazilian wax or a chest wax?
It was a chest wax, yeah. Yeah. Luther did most of it. You took a couple of strips of tape off yourself. Up there, Dan.
I felt like I had made it.
Let's talk about this for a second.
Really
here. Hold on a second. So there were a lot of people there. There were.
I did it live on the fronton. Like
thousands.
Thousands
of people. People hanging from the rafters.
But is that the first time that we ever did an event and looked around and were like, oh, holy shit, this is a lot of people for our stupidity?
We made a bet on it. We agreed to do it. I think we did a free promotion. We told the guy who ran advertising for that place, NPR, if we get over 1,000 people.
But why'd we do it at Dania High Line, though?
We wanted the show. We can get over 1,000
people. Oh, was to show
there.
Off, like, yes. that we could do this anywhere? Yeah. Watch us do it here?
We were
feeling good about ourselves.
It sort of crossed paths because Hawk was on this real highlight kick, and we had, like, a week and a half of shows that were just talking about the glory days of highlight in Miami and how that sport was the place to be.
It really
seen.
Was in the 80s.
Yeah. So while we were having those discussions, I think Miami was playing one of those crazy early schedule years.
Right. Yes.
And Stu Gatz and Luther Campbell, who was a rational Canes fan, made a bet on the Canes win total in Miami. Whatever it was, Luther Campbell ended up winning the bet, and Stu Gatz had to get his chest waxed in front of people. And so we figured, why not Dania High Line? Because this is just perfect with everything else that we're talking about. And Dania High Line was eager to acquiesce.
Right, but we did it for free, and we told them we'd get a certain amount. And if we got that certain amount, you would have to become a sponsor of the show. And to their credit, we got the amount. To our credit, to their credit, they became a big sponsor.
Well, we were trying. It was weird. It was weird. Yeah. They were very excited. We shot a jolt. Marty!
Yes.
How do you explain Marty to people? Marty,
he looks like Dania High Line.
Yes.
Dania High Line in the 80s, though.
Yeah. Is there any other kind?
Right.
Well, Dania High Line right before we got there had
it was still Dania High Line.
That's when Marty was cool, though. Yeah. That's what Marty
yes,
was cool.
Yes, when Marty can get you tickets. I'm talking about Marty in the 80s. You're talking about a short sleeve shirt that is beige that he's wearing with a tie, correct?
Yeah.
And and he is rocking in the 80s. You need dinner reservations. You're coming in. You heard Shula and Duper will be there.
Yeah, there was this.
And Don Johnson is coming to film something for Miami Vice.
Because of how successful the Stugatz execution went, we decided to partner up with Dania High Li and host monthly poker tournaments at Dania High Li. And they went great. It turned into a partnership. And I think like the eighth edition, I got kind of bored of just waiting around. I wouldn't ever play in these things. So I took an executive tour of the luxury boxes at Dania High Li. And you actually have to walk through Stargate. Not a lot of people know this. You walk through Stargate and you go up and there are dead rats everywhere. No. Just all over the floor. And you just sort of have to envision sort of like The Shining, where you look at an old picture and it sort of transports
you. But could you see the glory of the 80s in there? But nobody's been in there in 30 years, right?
Oh, yeah. You could see it. It was just like, it was like a newly discovered subway, abandoned subway station from the old New York days, where there's just webs everywhere.
Nope. But why were they touring? Why were they?
Because I was just bored and I was like, hey, can I walk around a little bit? And they took me around and they would, man, this is where Duper used to sit. And
did it feel haunted?
It did. Well, that's because I actually saw ghosts.
I imagine a ghost looking like Marty. Yeah. Just sort of floating
well,
in.
And it was just Marty walking towards me. I was like, wow, you scared the shit out of me.
Could have been a cloud of smoke.
Yeah.
Dania High Li, and it's still going, right? They still try.
Oh, it's going strong. Yeah. Renovated for the 15th time.
Everyone's just sitting on these licenses. They're all just sitting on these licenses. It's sort of like, you know how like Baptist of South Florida isn't really like a hospital company. It's really like the biggest real estate developer, and they just have like hospitals for
what
tax
benefits.
What
they have is the right to gamble.
Yeah, they just what they have is a right to gamble. Basically, the way that Baptist sits on an empty parking lot for 15 years until they can develop it. All these people, all these investors that come and go, they got the gambling license, and they're just waiting for the sports books.
Chris, give us more details. Were you gambling at noon in the Sad Smoky Casino? I want to hear. You're 19 years old, and they let you in at 18 there. So this is rebellious Chris Cody.
They'll let you in at any age.
He's learning to drink. He's learning to have fun.
A library card.
And so you go and you take inventory of what your life has become as you look around the smoky room and you say, I'm a degenerate, or there's something wrong with me. I'm sad. Or did you just love it?
Well, at the time, I loved it, and I thought I was going to be the next Chris Moneymaker, because this was like right at the time of like the poker boom. I believe at one point I was so into poker that I went and played a poker tournament one Saturday evening that I missed a family dinner, and my parents, my aunt, and my uncle, and my grandma came and visited me and watched me play like 10 minutes of poker at that Sad Casino. And I remember at that point being like, you guys need to go. I'm sad. This whole experience has just made me really sad, because I know deep down that I'm not good at poker, and I made you guys enjoy. You had a nice dinner, and then you came to this smoky place just to support your degenerate son who skipped dinner for this poker. It's just a dark time in my life, actually.
Well, I'm guessing you were this. Were you douchey poker guy at the beginning? Were you trying to
glasses,
get the character?
I had glasses. Headphones, I had my headphones on.
A little chip that you kept flipping around your hand. I hate that fucking guy.
I would bring a backpack. I would have a backpack and I would put it on my chair, even though I lived like 4 minutes from the place. Like, most people with backpacks were people that were like traveling for poker. Like, I just thought it was, I don't know. I was a douche, man. I don't know what else to say.
But the poker room was actually really nice, especially compared to the tobacco room.
That's where we started. Okay, so all of these places are sad. All of these places have a film on them. All of them are cancerous or emphysema soaked.
Yeah,
but tell them specifically about the room of leprosy, the room where you've got stains on the wall, smoky gray stains on the glass wall, on the glass walls, because so many people have gotten cancer in that room.
I would say the two worst rooms in South Florida are the room that Mike is about to describe and the smoking room at the Miami International Airport.
Yeah. It's kind of the same. Same family.
Waxy bathroom.
But you can eat at the airport.
Waxy bathroom.
The waxy bathroom near where Roy jumped into the arms of Alex Dono after Greg Camarillo's touchdown.
Yeah, waxy bathroom, where the highlight of walking to it would be passing by Sheila, who was always wearing a neck brace.
Always had a neck problem, Sheila.
After that, it would just be a downhill trajectory. Either way, so like the tobacco room, one sign said tobacco, but if you were approaching it from the left, it just said ACO. So you had no real idea. And there was smoking everywhere. There wasn't supposed to be, but the entire place smelled like cigarette smoke. So you were, maybe there wasn't smoking allowed and just the smell of cigarette smoke was just emanating from this one room that if you ran your finger across the glass doors, there would be a yellow residue on your finger. And you would always look in and you would try to see through the smoke.
You couldn't see it.
And
it felt like somebody was barbecuing in there an enclosed space.
Yeah, it looked like mist in the Congo jungle. You were trying to, you didn't know if it was like an 80-year-old person with an oxygen tank or a silverback gorilla. Chances were equal.
No, how often was it that 80-year-old guy with an oxygen tank? Because he was rolling through there,
which is creaking, also hazardous.
With creaking machinery.
The one thing that shouldn't be in that tobacco room is an oxygen tank. I mean, maybe if you want to walk in as a neutral and just explore, maybe that's where the monolith went. I'm not exactly sure, but there were old school closed circuit televisions in here. I remember making that observation because before pay-per-view,
it was a glamour room.
There was the closed circuit television. That's where you'd watch these in-demand events.
Roy Jones Jr. against Mike Tyson, but back when you would have wanted to watch them fight.
Right, yes.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that wanted to watch that fight this time. I was shocked at where we are.
$10 million for Mike Tyson for that fight.
Really?
$10 million. Roy Jones Jr. got $3
million. How much did Nate Robinson get? Is it enough to cover the medical bills? Magic Johnson. I don't know if he did this on purpose, but his tweet last night praying for Nate Robinson, who got knocked the f*** out by a YouTuber. I lost $100 on that bet.
Oh, I owe him $100. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got to tell people this. This is part of my...
You guys bet that fight?
Listen to me. This is where my awful weekend started. I simply wanted to go down the path of gambling degeneracy by opening the bidding. This is my first snort of cocaine with Mike Ryan because I wanted to offer this sentence to Mike Ryan so we could talk on the show about this is me entering the gambling realm. And Mike Ryan pulling me into the depths. Mike, put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me. I owe you $100 because
nothing.
he was plus 170, and all I saw was the memes when I woke up in the morning of him face first on the floor.
Knowing nothing, the entire $100 bet was built on the foundation of, if Nate Robinson was that short, he has to be tough if he made it to the heights of professional athletics. That's all we were doing. Nothing about the other
guy. And Jake Paul can't be because he's a YouTuber.
Yeah, but I've seen Jake Paul box. I was actually surprised that the line was closed because Jake Paul gets respect. And if he doesn't, he certainly has it now. Nate Robinson just totally weirdly aggressive, falls on his face. But either way. Dania Highly had closed circuit televisions, which I read about. If someone wanted to watch WrestleMania, let's say, they couldn't just, in the early days, order it at their home. They would have to go to a place that had closed circuit televisions and watch with a group of people. And apparently, the luxurious ACO room at Dania Highly was one of these places where you could watch a closed circuit fight or event or race or what have you. But there is absolutely cancer lining the walls. That's instead of wallpaper or paint, it's just cancer.
Right.
They went to Sherman Williams and picked the cancer color.
Mm-hmm.
And it is there on the walls. And whatever smell wafts throughout
faded
the fronton,
urine, both the smell and the color.
Yes.
Faded urine.
The smell wafts throughout the entire fronton, which I was told there was no smoking at, yet there was.
Smells like disease.
It all emanated from this horrible room that hadn't been cleaned. It hadn't been cleaned in years.
Needs to be fumigated.
Yeah. But the luxurious poker room was so nice in comparison. If you don't do the dollar beers because you're going to have to pee, don't get up from the poker room.
Don't go to the bathroom.
Don't. Just stay there. Chris, did you have the dollar hot dogs?
Oh, God.
Did I have the dollar hot dogs? That's a cute question.